You're listening to the Be Hooked podcast, session number 7 with Brittany. Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Be Hooked podcast. We're moving right along with the Master Crochet Pattern segment, and we have only 2 more lessons left. Today, we're going to explore a topic that has come up so many times. Well, many of you have reached out to me personally and said, "Hey, Brittany, you just don't understand. I need a video tutorial." Or, "But Brittany, I'm a visual person." Well, this episode is for you. I get that, believe me, I'm a visual person too. Keep an open mind and take what I'm about to say into consideration. I think you'll find that you might surprise yourself with how flexible you are when learning one medium to another, so visual to written. Before we get into today's session, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Red Heart. Red Heart is proud to be America's favorite yarn and 3rd-year winner of the Women's Choice Award for Most Recommended Yarn Brand. That's right, you all have voted Red Heart as your favorite yarn. This is such an exciting time for them, and I'm really thrilled to be able to work with them and to share their awesome yarn with you. You can visit redheart.com and flip through over 3,000 free knit and crochet patterns, many of them having video tutorials included, and yes, that's all completely free. Now, the link for the show notes for today's session is behookedcrochet.com/session007. You can type that into your browser. You can just see a detailed information of today's session, and you can leave any questions or comments right there on that page. Habits are a powerful thing. They start with a single motivation, develop into a routine, and over time, become a habit. Once a habit is formed around a task or an activity, we can usually do that thing without much thought at all. It's as if our brains are running in autopilot mode. With so much power behind this little word, we must always be mindful of our routines, as each routine can develop into a habit. I like to think of motivation and routine as stepping stones to habits. With the right motivation and routine, you'll develop a good habit. With a wrong motivation and a poor routine, you'll probably develop a bad habit. The process of learning something new is much like forming a habit. We start with the motivation to learn something. We follow through by creating a routine to help us through that learning process. Once you can perform the task without much thought, well, then it's safe to say that you've formed a habit around this topic or activity that you set out to learn. Now, a little story, just a personal experience about how a habit was formed by practicing something, by a routine, was when my husband and I decided to go to Italy. I talked about this trip a little bit before, but I want to bring it up again because it really is a good point to what I'm trying to convey here, the message that I'm trying to convey. As soon as we decided to make that trip, then I had a strong motivation to learn how to speak Italian. I mean, the thought of being in a country where I didn't understand anybody just scared me to death, and I didn't want to be that person that just expected them to speak English to me because they knew I was an American. I really wanted to put forth an effort. Well, for 2 months, I studied Italian at least 15 minutes a day, sometimes 30 minutes a day. And this was my routine for those 2 months. Well, by the time we got to Italy, I could hear common Italian phrases, and I could see words and just instantly knew what they meant. The phrases that I had practiced in my routines, I found were just effortlessly coming from my mouth as if I had been speaking Italian for over a year. I'd say that during this short 2-month period of studying the Italian language, I formed a few little habits. Well, how about a personal experience that you can relate to? Do you remember when you first learned how to drive a car? It took some real thought and deliberation, but I mean, you wanted your independence, right? And that motivated you to learn. You likely developed routines around safe driving, you know, if you had to take the driving classes, or if a family member taught you, you know, always use your turn signal, turn your lights on at night, don't brake too hard. Well, now all of these things you probably do naturally. Well, these are examples of the mode of habit formation. When we understand how habits are formed, we can divert a bad habit and we can recreate a new one. We all have some kind of motivation that keeps our hook in hand. It could be relaxation, creativity, mentorship, or just something completely different. We have that first stepping stone laid. Our routine was likely formed really quickly too when we learned. When you decide to crochet something new, do you look for a new pattern or do you look for a video tutorial on YouTube? If you answered video tutorial, you're well on your way to creating a visual habit for yourself. Maybe you already have. Video tutorials are an excellent way to learn. I mean, YouTube has opened up so many doors for people who are interested in crochet and learning how to crochet. We live in a world where there are honestly more self-taught YouTube crocheters than book or group learners. It's incredible. This is, however, a habit that'll hinder you as you progress from beginner to intermediate to advanced level crocheting. Now, I'm not saying you have to stop watching video tutorials altogether, but you will need to just open up your eyes a little bit more and learn how to read a written pattern. Eventually, you're going to come across one and you'll want to be able to follow that, and there won't be a video tutorial available. We must control the routine to form the right habit, one that allows you to follow a tutorial and read a pattern. First, we need to find you some motivation to break your visual habit. We've all experienced motivation at some point in our lives, but honestly, have you ever stopped to think about what it means for you? Motivation is what pushes us to achieve our goals. It makes us feel more fulfilled, and overall, it can just improve our quality of life. It's made up of personal drive, commitment, initiative, and optimism. And these are powerful tools that you can leverage to accomplish what you want. Put motivation to work for you. We're all motivated to crochet. There's no doubt about that. So when we talk about motivation here, we're looking specifically for motivation to step out of your video tutorial comfort zone and try following a written pattern. Your motivation may be sheer determination to just conquer this confusing world of patterns and diagrams. Finding the pattern that speaks to you is the greatest form of motivation I've experienced. When you find the perfect pattern, the thought of having it completed and in your hands is a strong driving force. We're going to use that drive to our advantage. A pattern is at the beginning of every project, and it makes sense to start here when rerouting our habits from visual to flexible. Visual, of course, being the video tutorial, and flexible meaning that you're able to read a pattern or watch the tutorial. Well, as with all things starting out, you'll want to find a pattern that's within your reach. Keeping a Pinterest board or a binder or some other way to organize patterns that inspire you is a great way to begin this motivation process. The pattern should jump out at you. It should speak to you, as they say. When you find it, you'll know. I prefer to use a Pinterest board to organize my crochet bucket list. This is a great way for me personally to keep track of the things that made me say wow when I saw them, even though I wasn't specifically looking for it at that time. So when I'm ready to begin a new project, I go back to my Pinterest board and I'll pick my next project there. Pinterest is one of the greatest tools available to us crocheters. Thousands of yarn lovers have spent countless hours crafting each board to inspire and bookmark the finest on the web. If you already have a Pinterest account, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and I probably don't need to elaborate. But if you don't, I highly recommend you check it out. Once you set up your free account, you'll just type the word crochet in the search bar and you'll just have thousands of pins or bookmark pages related to crochet just right there in front of you in an instant. If you type in the words free crochet patterns, you can narrow in even more and you'll have hundreds or more free crochet patterns. When you have some time, log into Pinterest and start your crochet bucket list board. Use that as motivation to fuel every new project. Another amazing online resource I recommend to find a new pattern is Ravelry. This is an online database with free and paid crochet and knit patterns. The patterns are submitted by users for users, and it's the largest and closest thing to a social network that us fiber lovers have. Once you start your free account, you can browse through thousands of patterns. It has a robust filtering system in place too, so if you want to find, say, a hat pattern that uses bulky weight yarn, then you can do just that. Keep Ravelry in your back pocket and refer to it whenever you need to find a new project. Once you get in and see what else Ravelry has to offer, I suspect you'll use it for much more too. It's more than just a pattern database. I mentioned the two biggest online resources for pattern inspiration, but let's not forget traditional print. Magazines are a great way to find new projects and patterns and inspiration. Now, I'm not typically one to sign up for subscriptions, but I do enjoy buying myself a crochet magazine every now and then as kind of a little treat. Now, you can usually find magazines, crochet magazines, at craft stores or at some grocery stores too. Now, if you're a book lover like me, you might enjoy getting yourself a new crochet book. Now, you can find a crochet book for just about everything, from hats to home decor to one skein wonders. Whatever inspiration you're looking for, you'll probably find it in a book. I've found many popular crochet books at like my local craft stores, but typically when I splurge on a new crochet book for myself, I'll go to Amazon. I just utilize the Prime membership, get the free shipping, free 2-day shipping, and they have literally every crochet book out there that I could ever want. Finding the perfect pattern that motivates you to press your comfort zone is exactly what I need you to do. It's probably the best homework assignment you've ever been given. Remember that motivation is at the start of every routine and habit, the two topics we're going to talk about next. Go out there and find yourself a seriously motivating pattern. Keep it within the beginner or easy level so you aren't starting out in deep waters. Oh yes. And make sure it's a written pattern only. We can't change your visual only habit to flexible status if you're using a video tutorial. Now, if this just scares the daylights out of you, well, good. When you find yourself a little fearful, it's usually a sign that you're doing the right thing. Don't worry about the how right now. Just worry about finding a pattern that really motivates you. Every habit begins with motivation that develops into a routine. We can reroute our visual-only tendencies by forming a routine that simplifies the pattern. Now, the very definition of simplify is to make something simpler or easy to understand. So when we simplify a topic, we break it down into bite-sized pieces that are easier to consume. It creates the perfect framework for learning. If you followed my tutorials at any point in the past, or if you've read any of the posts on my website, you've been exposed to this style of teaching. I've had great success teaching in this manner, and I've applied this principle throughout the Master Crochet Patterns segment. Learning this technique, such as reading a crochet pattern, I would argue requires this approach. When you enter into a complicated situation, honestly, your best advantage is to simplify the process. Well, we are no stranger to the foreign crochet language. Although it serves to cut back on the wordiness, it can cause real chaos as we're trying to read through it, especially when it's something that's new to us. Simplifying a pattern can cut back on the clutter, which will make it easier to read and follow. And we already did this back in session 3 during our rewriting phase. You didn't know it then, but I was priming you for a victorious routine. This method of preparation simplified the abbreviations, repeats, and everything in between, leaving just pure instructions. And during the next few months, as you practice everything you've learned in this segment, I encourage you to follow the steps in sessions 2 and 3 every single time. And this repetition will help you form a routine of simplification and a good habit. As important as it is, we must remember the title of this episode: We're Breaking the Visual Habit. We aren't here to recreate the concept of following a pattern, but rather what we can do to reroute our routine so that when we see a written pattern, we don't go running for the hills. If you limit yourself to only what YouTube creators and bloggers publish, are you getting the full benefits of this hobby? Will you ever reach your full potential? The answers to these questions will vary from person to person. Now, I personally enjoy the process of crocheting. The full process, though, from start to finish. I feel more gratification when I've worked through some kind of problem within the process, and that's typically related to following the pattern. Tutorials were great for me when I was learning, but once I had a good grasp on a technique, I typically would get bored with the tutorial format because I lacked that problem-solving process. Well, maybe you like kicking back and following along with a tutorial so you have a clear mind. You know, maybe you problem solve enough at work, or you have a lot on your mind and you want your hobby to be as relaxing as possible. Well, I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other, but just recognize what is true for you. Now find your reason, and the rest is simple. We already talked about one method of simplifying a pattern, rewriting it into terms you understand. Well, there are two other approaches to simplifying a pattern that we're going to talk about next. The first one is eliminating color transitions, and the second one is practicing with small-scale projects. First, I'd like to talk about eliminating color transitions. Now, if you've ever seen a pattern with multiple colors involved, you have seen firsthand how confusing they can be. Rewriting the pattern, of course, is going to help you to work through it, but I mean, honestly, you might just want to eliminate the confusion altogether. You don't have to sacrifice color, though, for the sake of simplicity. When using a variegated or color-changing yarn, you can get that same visual interest you need, but without all that hassle of changing colors and the confusion that that pattern will bring to you. Variegated yarns come in a few different varieties. We have self-striping, ombre, and mosaic. A self-striping yarn has medium-length color transition. So in other words, each section of color is about medium length compared to the other two. As the name implies, the length of the color sections, when worked up, create a striped appearance. This type of yarn is perfect for patterns that call for multiple colors that create different colored rows or rounds. So a striped pattern using different types of yarn, that's the same look that you're going to get with a self-striping yarn. Mosaic yarn is similar to self-striping in that it has multiple colors, but it has much shorter color sections. The color transition in mosaic variegated yarns are anywhere from about 1 to 12 inches, and the result is changing from a striped appearance, so maybe a whole row or a round, and what you'll get is that every stitch or every few stitches will be a different color. The type of stitch used can really change the overall look, which also makes working with mosaic yarns really fun. So each stitch requires a different length of yarn, and that's going to change the overall appearance of the pattern. And you may have seen a lot of this online with the color pulling. So color pulled projects usually use mosaic yarns. Now lastly, my personal favorite is ombre yarn. Ombres have very long color sections and gently fade from one hue to another. they're often within the same color family. So for example, a deep purple that fades into a light lilac. Now, occasionally you'll find an ombre that utilizes different colors. Either way, it's really entertaining to see how ombres can transform a design into something really amazing. When deciding which type of variegated yarn to substitute with, you'll want to keep a few things in mind. First, it's really important that you stay within the same yarn weight category. This will ensure that your gauge and your finished sizing will stay true to the pattern. The second thing you'll want to consider is which type of variegation to go for. Remember the characteristics of each, the self-striping, mosaic, and ombre, when making your choices. Making the decision to simplify a pattern that utilizes many color transitions will eliminate a lot of headache when learning to read a pattern. But what if your pattern doesn't have color transitions? Is there still a way to simplify them beyond rewriting them? Well, the good news is yes, there is. Many patterns are available in multiple sizes that range from infant all the way up to adult. By choosing to work the infant sizes first, you're simplifying the pattern and the process. Patterns for infants by nature are less wordy because they require fewer rows or rounds to complete. Newborn hats are especially great to practice with. You'll see that crochet lingo is still present within the pattern, but when you're working with 16 rounds as opposed to 36, things are a lot easier to interpret. Now, I use this principle of simplification for nearly every project when I began crocheting, and again when I started reading patterns. So the next time you find a pattern, try adding infant to your search criteria. Think small. The smaller the project, the fewer the instructions, and the less time it'll take for you to create it. You can pretty much make 3 newborn hats in the same time that it takes to make one adult-sized, and it gives you 3 times the experience. At this point, we've talked about why a pattern can motivate you to change your routine of searching for only video tutorials. We've covered 2 ways that you can simplify your pattern to help you work through it more easily, so you're likely to stick with it. Well, these are all actionable tips that you can use on any pattern, but I must reiterate the importance of 2 fundamental steps we talked about previously. These 2 principles were discussed back in episodes 2 and 3, and they're visualizing and drawing. And I already know this is working for you guys because you're telling me about it on my Facebook page and over on the show notes page as well. The reason you're drawn to visual aids like video tutorials or pictorials is because you're likely a visual learner. You learn best when you can see it being done first. And this is by no means a bad thing. It's just how your mind processes new information. Unfortunately, though, written patterns are likely to always be the standard, which means you have to come up with some kind of technique to process a written pattern. Visualization and drawing are both visual processes. You can easily translate a set of written instructions into visualizations used either in your mind or by physically drawing the stitches. And we talked about this a lot more in session number 2, but now we're going to talk about its importance for you as a visual learner and why this plays such a big role in your decision to only follow a visual pattern format, so a video tutorial. Here's the deal. Nobody likes to feel like they don't understand a topic, especially when it surrounds a hobby that you love so much. When you know that visual aids make you feel more confident, then you have a positive experience associated with it. We're often drawn to the things that we understand and that we're good at. So honestly, why wouldn't you want to follow a video tutorial? What we don't realize is that visualizing and drawing a pattern gives us visual information we need to recreate the pattern. It works in the same way as a video tutorial and a pictorial. Our brains don't distinguish between types of visuals. It just associates it as, hey, I like this. We only need to train ourselves to believe that drawing and visualizing is just as effective as that video tutorial. Now, this comes with practice, as all good things do. Start small and work your way up. Find a pattern for a motif or a granny square and use this to put it to the test. So a motif is a crocheted component that's typically only 4 or 5 rounds. So they're really simple. They can be very simple. Some of them do have complicated stitch patterns, but, you know, generally speaking, they're excellent to practice with. You can find a range of crochet motifs from beginner to advanced pattern levels. I recommend starting with a beginner level pattern, of course, and just working your way up. Many motif patterns that you'll find in crochet books also include a diagram. In these cases, you won't even need to draw the stitches. They've already provided that for you with the diagram. When you find your first motif pattern, read through it and begin to visualize the steps. Think about the stitches used and its shape. Then draw the stitches in each round on a sheet of scrap paper. Just as we practiced before in session 3, follow through with your preparation process. See if you notice a difference in how you feel about the visual aids you have at your disposal right now. Do you still feel the need to watch a video tutorial? If so, well, maybe you need to kick things up a notch. This pattern isn't motivating you enough. The idea here isn't to change the way you learn. In order to get the most out of crochet, we need to adapt our learning styles to fit the resources available. Well, there are thousands of free video tutorials out there on YouTube, but there are hundreds of thousands of written patterns. When you begin to feel limited in what you can create with the tutorials available, you'll truly be ready to step out of your comfort zone and change that visual-only status to flexible. When we've tried all of these things, and we still come up short, we still have each other for guidance. A yarn buddy is one of the most important people in your crochet life. When they're more experienced than you are, they can show you exactly what to do. If they're of the same experience level, then you can work through the problem together. No matter what the situation, really, everybody can benefit from a yarn buddy. So make it a goal to find a yarn buddy if you don't already have one. It could be a coworker who shares your love of crochet, your best friend, someone from church, or a family member. Doesn't matter. You'll form a support system with this person or persons and find comfort in knowing that you're there to help each other. If there's one thing I've learned about crocheters, it's that we're some of the friendliest people on the planet. We love to share our experiences, our opinions and thoughts, success stories, all of that with one another. It's really such a great support system in itself, the crochet community. In this day and age, we have the most powerful networking capability right at our fingertips, usually in our pocket or within an arm's reach away. We should use this opportunity to reach out to others for help. The internet is full of crocheters who have likely been in your shoes and would gladly help out. I've already mentioned my favorite online resource once in this session, but you know, it's so good, you get to hear about it again. Actually, I'd really love to have one of the founders on this show. That would be incredible. Ravelry. We're going back to Ravelry. It's one of the biggest online pattern databases, but it also functions as a social network too. As a Ravelry user, you'll have the ability to leave questions in the comments section for each pattern. Now, this comment goes directly to the mailbox of the designer who uploaded it. And that is powerful. You could get help straight from the source. If the designer doesn't reply back, then, well, you can rest assured that your question can be read by anyone who's looking at the pattern. This means that any one of these people can help you. Ravelry has a powerful forum section that's full of crochet-related topics. There are usually more than 3,000 people online at any given time, so this is a really great way to get a quick response to a question that you have. By visiting the forum section, you can browse through relevant topics or you can create your own thread specifically for your question. I've always had a good response and a quick response to a Ravelry forum post, which is why this website ranks so high on my list of recommendations. Facebook is another great online resource for support. There are hundreds of active Facebook groups centered around crochet. Some fit into a specific topic while others are a little more general. But when you type in the word crochet into your Facebook search bar and hit enter, you'll be directed to a page that curates all things crochet on Facebook. What you're looking for specifically is the groups box. Mine typically generates near the top of the page, so you'll look for that little groups tab and you'll click on that. This shortens the list of different featured items into just the crochet groups that are available. You'll want to click the See More button just below the last group. It'll typically only populate the first couple of groups. So you'll click that See More button, and that will open up a page that's filled with crochet groups for you to browse through. I recommend choosing a group with a lot of members because this means that the group is really active and your questions are more likely to be seen. When you find a group that you would like to join, all you need to do is click the Join button. If the group is open, then you'll have access to the group page instantly and can begin posting your questions. But some groups are closed groups and you'll need to submit a request to join. This might take a day or two for the group leader to accept your request. Seeking advice from your peers will be a powerful tool for you to use as you attempt to break free from this tutorial-only mindset and venture into the world of written patterns. Once you get it down, you'll find yourself not worrying about the format a pattern is available in. You'll be able to work with them all. Can you imagine that? But until then, you'll probably need a support system, people who are willing to help you through your questions. Online is a great way to connect with other crocheters, and we looked at my top two recommendations already, Ravelry and Facebook. There are, however, a few more ways to meet and seek advice when you're stuck on a pattern. Reaching out to the designer directly is a great place to start when you have a problem. As long as you know the source of the pattern you're working on, you should be able to do this. Of course, some designers might be easier to reach than others, but you should always give it a try. If the pattern you're struggling with is on a website, then the first place you should look is for a contact page within that website. This will often link directly to that designer's inbox, and they can answer your questions via email. If you're unable to find a contact page or email address or comments section, reaching out to them directly on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram is another great alternative. I wouldn't make this my sole resource, though. Many designers receive dozens or hundreds of emails every week, and it's difficult to get to them all in a timely manner. You may find it easier to reach out to someone personally in one of these two settings. Crochet classes are another excellent resource for questions. You have direct access to a crochet instructor who is there specifically just to help you. Each class is usually themed and will work on a specific project, but you can save your personal questions for the end of class one-on-one with the instructor. To find a class in your area, there are a couple different places to check out. Craft stores such as Joann Fabric and Crafts, Michaels, Hobby Lobby, and AC Moore host regular crochet classes, and they're taught by certified instructors, so you're getting what you pay for here. If you don't have one of these stores in your area, you may check out a local yarn shop. They'll typically host classes as well. No matter where you take your class, the goal is to have some one-on-one time with an instructor. They'll help you through your questions. The last place I would recommend to connect with other crocheters and get advice on areas of a pattern that you might be struggling with is a local stitch night or a crochet group. Many cities have a crochet club or a crochet guild that organizes weekly meetups for stitching and fellowship. I found these meetings to be so valuable. You'll meet people in your area who are in love with the same hobby as you, and they're typically of all experience levels. To find these clubs, you should just do a quick Google search on the term Stitch and Bitch. Yes, I know, it's a silly name, but it's a real thing. It is nationwide here in the US, and it's great, honestly. You'll add the name of your city and see what comes up. Meetings are usually organized on a website called Meetup. So you might see Stitch and Bitch, the name of your city, and then you might see Meetup somewhere within the heading. If you're unsuccessful finding something online like this, then reach out to the owners of yarn shops, local charities, or your craft stores. They should be able to point you in the right direction. This topic of breaking the visual habit came up early in the stages of preparing for this series, and although it's not essential for those starting out, it can be priceless for those struggling in this area. There are many people out there who believe they can only follow along with a video tutorial, and I'm here to tell them otherwise. I know you can do this. I believe anyone can learn to read a pattern or follow a diagram as long as they're given the proper tools, the proper guidance, and the encouragement that they need. Now, this includes breaking old habits and forming new ones. And we're almost finished with your journey, but we have just one more essential topic to cover. The only way you'll be able to put all of these lessons you've learned here in the Master Crochet Pattern segment is if you have the confidence in yourself that you can do it. We'll talk about that next week in the final session of the Master Crochet Pattern segment. To wrap things up this week, I want to thank our sponsor one more time, Red Heart, and congratulate them for winning the Women's Choice Award for America's Most Recommended Yarn Brand. You can sign up for their emails today, and you can get 15% off your first purchase. Just head over to redheart.com to sign up today. Once again, the link for the show notes page is behookedcrochet.com/session007. You can leave me any questions or comments about what you've heard right here on that page. Just scroll down to the comments section and tell me what you think. I also want to quickly remind you about that Audible deal. Audible is a platform that will literally read to you while you crochet. Just for Be Hooked podcast listeners, you can get a free audiobook download when you sign up for a free 30-day trial. This isn't just a select few of books either. You can choose from and download your free book from over 180,000 popular titles. These are bestsellers and brand new books. Once you download your free book, start your free 30-day trial, then you can listen to that book from your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, MP3 player, anywhere. And if you decide that the service isn't for you, then you can cancel your free 30-day subscription and the book is yours to keep. Go to behookedcrochet.com/audible to get your free book download on me as a huge thanks for listening to the show. That's behookedcrochet.com/audible. Thank you for joining me today. I'm so appreciative that you're here. I know the tips in this episode are going to help you in so many ways, but the bottom line is that you just have to take action. I will see you next week in session number 8, where we'll wrap up the Master Crochet Pattern segment with a little motivational conversation about confidence. Take care.